Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again on this Tuesday evening, March the 26th, 2024, to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who will join us tonight that have joined us in the past, that perhaps will continue to join us here. We're grateful for being able to engage you and another substantive dialogue tonight on our podcast. You can call us here at 563-999-3617 and join in the live national dialogue. Whether you're following us on Facebook live stream or you're following us from the Blog Talk Radio platform, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. We do have a topic for this evening, so I will get to it. But again, I want to encourage you to give us a call here and join in the live dialogue. Number to call in the studio tonight, 999-3617. And you can speak to yours truly, Brother Dockery, as well as any other callers that we may have on with us. And we'll get right to it. Let's get right into it here on this Tuesday night. A core factor of any successful and sustainable culture is the quality of the values represented by its people. Perhaps the greatest challenge to all obtaining the American dream, quote unquote, is ensuring that every citizen the values that shape American ideas. Success and forward progress is not based on race, gender, creed, or nationality, but rather, to the contrary, the drive of each individual seeking it determines your outcomes for success. Our nation could be truly the greatest when all 330-some million citizens, babies, women, and men and children, collectively are able to thrive and live according to a healthy American value system. All right? Join me tonight as we speak from the topic, a healthy value system, key to American upward mobility. That's what we're talking about tonight. And again, you can call us here, our monologue and go to our phone line. All right. I want to see what the word has to say about it. What word, Doctor? The word of Yehovah Elohim, the Lord God of the nine. And let us look at verses 9 and 10 for our context this evening. All right, here's what it says in the King James Version. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in his learning. Interesting. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of his holy is understanding. Let me say that one more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I think that is apropos to where we're going in terms of embracing, and living according to certain values, not just American, but in general. All right? So let's talk about what a value system is first, okay? And then let's get into some of the factors, identifying factors of a value system. And then let's look at some of the tenets we see. What is it that shapes people's value system? When we talk about the value system, and we're speaking in the context of American values now, I think that it's important to realize that you can't separate the individual from the whole. And this is the point I was trying to intimate early in the introduction there in the monologue, and that is that when we all understand that we all have a right and we all can be happy and prosperous, but we all have to agree and believe that. We all have to accept that. We can't be grievance-based and make excuses, right? When you see someone else doing well, then you become despondent. Well, ask yourself, what must I do? And does happiness mean trying to be like them? Or does it mean me operating in my own individual right according to the same opportunities? And what are these values that shape that? So we're talking about a set of beliefs, we're talking about values, principles that each individual or even a group holds to be very, very important and meaningful to them in terms of their identity. We're talking in the context of culture. Now, these values influence the way people think, the way they feel, their day-to-day action, and they can provide a framework for people making decisions, major life-changing, lifelong decisions as they set priorities in life. If children are not raised to identify and embrace a set of healthy values, they greatly are at risk of not having success and keeping up with everyone else. And my friends, this is one of the ingredients to criminality and the justification for such. When you feel as though I don't have what others have, and therefore I have to get it the way I live or the best way I can. Well, the truth of the matter is there's a proper place and time for everything and for everybody. And if you understand that, and if you are taught that, if you are reared by those principles, you should do well, okay? Now, when we talk about this framework for shaping our life and our life patterns, some of the things that are in this systematic process that shape some of the factors that are involved, your upbringing. Now, some people would argue that because I had a rough life, that justifies me cutting corners and doing what I do, even if it hurts someone else or it takes from someone. Ain't wrong answer. Okay? But it's our upbringing. So who should teach us that? That's one of the roles that the church has, I would argue. to provide that moral basis, that guidance, proper, strong upbringing. Understanding in from a cultural context, we were talking about America. Now, America cannot be recognized fully without recognizing everyone that made its contribution, including African Americans. That's right. You can't tell American history right without including the major significant contributions of African Americans historically, even back to the point of the Revolutionary War. Can't do it. Can't do it. Right? But beyond that, in America, what makes us great is that we have several different groups that make us what we who and what we are as a nation. And we should honor that. We should embrace that. We should recognize that. I don't mean you have to be against one another. That just simply means that we have a multifaceted basis for who we are, that cultural background, your education, that process of teaching and learning to your young, to your old, should be well in place. In the absence of it, there's no basis for good learning and instruction. Talk about the real life personal experiences of the elders. That's significant. All these are factors of a healthy value system, you see. These personal experiences can help shape, and that don't mean you have to go to school to have a PhD, a bachelor's degree, to have experience. No, there are people that bring meaningful, valuable experience to the floor. And many can benefit from it if we're wise, if we're wise. African-Americans, Caucasians or Europeans or Hispanics and others that bring important things that can be useful as opposed to finding ways to be antithetical against something or someone, seek ways by which you can hear what you have and learn and benefit from what they have to offer. We're talking about American values now. See, that's what we're talking about. We're one. Now, when we look at deeper the tenets of these value systems, what are they? What are the things, the behaviors, the lessons that we focus on? Talk about education. See, we got a process for teaching and learning, but what are we teaching? What are we teaching young people? From the time they come home and they lay down at night and they get up in the morning and they go about their daily day activity, what are we modeling and teaching for them? Well, here are some of them. They should learn things like honesty, the importance of honesty, first to yourself and then to others. Be honest with yourself. You're not applying yourself like you could and like you should. Be honest with yourself and say, I can do better, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to put forth my best foot. I'm not going to cut any corners. I'm not going to shuck and jive because I know that when I do that, I have nothing to feel bad for, nothing to be ashamed of. I gave my best. Huh? And I deserve the very best. Being honest. Integrity. Probably one of the most important things we can do for our young men and young women as well, but specifically our young men that are wayward, is to teach them the importance of having integrity. Being weighted by things and responsibility and responsiveness to others and to yourself and contributing and being firm with that, where people can rely on you. That's the most important thing you can do. Your reputation is the best thing you got. Integrity. Being compassionate. Having compassion or compassionate, showing love and care, concern for other people. It ain't all about you. I know the rapper said, give the way I live. Well, okay, all right. But it ain't all because you're not an island that live by yourself. Being able to have compassion, learning to be fair with others. See, learning to be fair, that's another big piece right there. And when you can get into who you are and as you interact with other people and circumscribe those values with other people, man, you get somewhere. Respect for yourself first in the way you dress, the way you utter words, the way you think, the way you act, and then respecting other people. That doesn't mean you're going to always agree with them, but having a healthy respect goes a long way. And then seeking, setting goals for yourself of achievement. What we're talking about is the value system, and we're talking about the things you teach the values in the individual, in the family, in the neighborhood, in the community, in the nation as a whole. These are the keys to success in America. Huh? And, beloved, let me tell you something. Having a clear understanding of this value system on a broader sense and for yourself personally, it will help you a great deal get through a lot of challenges. No one says it's going to be easy every day. No. That's okay, though. But when you operate from a strong value system, guess what you can do? You can manage your challenges. You can overcome them. Have the right perspective. Not always easily broken down and timid and run on and ready to run away or ready to fight. See? This is what the purpose and the benefit of a healthy value system. Success in America, now it is a capitalistic society. That's true. And we know historically some folks have stole, lied, and cheated. Okay. No doubt about that. 250 years old, I believe it is, this year. Are we 249? I believe that's correct, on the 4th of July, the 4th. And, you know, so some not-so-good things, but there are some good things we can hold on as well. And despite those people lying and cheating, getting what they did, we're here today. And major contributions have been made to the viability, to the sustainability and the stability of American culture. You have a right to that. And you have a right to be happy to be recognized for those things. See what I mean? All right? And what we need to understand, I believe what's important to teach, irregardless of your race, okay? Ain't got nothing to do with that. Skin color is. So guess what? You, in America, there are opportunities. And it's some people that look just like you that look like me. They're doing quite well. Why don't you hear about them in the news every day? They too busy doing and living the American dream. Huh? Should they stop every now and then and talk to you? Perhaps. Get busy. Live an American dream, and everything will be all right. All right? Now, some of these values are missing in many contexts and many situations, but that's not mean it's impossible for them to be taught, to be shared, and to be benefited from. And that's perhaps the most important thing that we can leave with you tonight, and that is that you have this opportunity to be successful in America. If you listen to Talk Straight, the number to call is 563-999-3617. We'll go straight to the phone line. And I got my caller from 3361, look like right here in the field. Welcome, caller. How you doing?
3661. Yeah, what's happening? All right.
What you say? Well, you heard our monologue about healthy values. And I hear many people make the complaint and the charge that it's unfair in America. And the deck is stacked against me or us, to where we can never be happy. What say you, Carla? What say you to that? Any truth to that?
I think there is some truth to that, but I think it's all up to the individual to if the deck is stacked, it's up to you to unstack it and start stacking your deck. I heard you talking about the American dream. I don't think it's so much about American dream. It's I believe what people envision for themselves and how they want to live. And when you set up some principles and rules for yourself, and you start following that, you're off to a good start. But you know, I do agree that there's some hurdles, unfortunately, or hurdles that shouldn't be hurdles. You know, you talk about society and cultures, and that will put government or politics in it. And it's terrible that people that look like you would be the same people trying to hold you down or keep you from succeeding and building your stack when they are in control of certain opportunities. And some people want to keep them opportunities for themselves, man.
Right.
And
right.
Leave others behind. But, you know, we got to learn how to get over that.
Sure.
And figure out another way to make some things happen for you, for ourselves.
Here's the thing, and I appreciate that. Here's the reality. We are where we are, right? Maybe you didn't ask to be here. Maybe you didn't put here. But you're here. And I want to piggyback off something you said. As you said earlier, it's up to you to make your circumstance and your situation what you want it to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes, there
have been people and circumstances that deliberately try to keep you back or keep you from doing that. That's not the case in 2024, not legally anyway. You understand what I'm saying? And so now you're in a far better position to develop yourself a plan, right? Write your plan, work your plan, and do your thing. And if you do that, you'll find that, hey, you can prosper in America. You know, you don't have to run to another country. You can prosper in America. I think about the situation in Haiti's right now, and it's a sad situation. They broke away from first the French in the 1800s, right? And then the British duped them into a contract that they didn't understand and essentially took their wealth away from them, but they were able to fight their way and get away from the British and regain their independence. And ever since then, it's been tough for them. You know what I mean? They've had the natural disasters and other civil conflicts and what have you. They just had a hard time. They seem to, even today, it's rough, man. But and maybe the thing is that if people say they want to help them, don't come in with the scheme of trying to undercut me and take what I got from it. You know what I mean? That's not what help means. Well, what about that?
Yeah.
In order for me to help you, you got to give me control of your outcome. What do you say about that, Carlos?
Well,
can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
I can. We must have had a little delay there, but go ahead. I hear you now.
I think that regarding that situation, it's just evident that people get tired, man.
Yeah.
And when they get tired, they start doing some miraculous things like making some decisions for themselves. And sometimes it might be a little violent doing so.
Yeah.
In regards to the situation in Haiti now.
Right.
But I think, you know, once you grab hold to your destiny, you can make some stuff happen. I agree with you.
Yeah. Good people. I went to school with some years ago, when I was an undergrad, went to school with some people from Haiti. And obviously, they have a drive. These people are driven to be successful and what have you. But again, within the context of their overall culture there, there have been challenges. And I would just argue that don't let that stop you, you know. Don't let that keep you from doing what you've got to do. Because at the end of the day, you determine what your path or your future is going to be, and no one else. Let me double back to one of the conversations that I was having relative to upbringing. Now, you know, this show started with the focus on urban American youth and families, right? And it's certain behaviors. It's not the person. It's the behavior that often is labeled, classified, and targeted. What you mean, doctor? What you mean? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, if I come outside, caller, half naked or buck naked, should I not expect somebody to say something and to ask questions? You all right, bro? Hey, man, you okay? Is that a fair? I mean, come on, call. Help me. Because, see, I see a lot of, you know, I was at the airport not too long ago, and, you know, a young lady came there. She had her bonnet on from look like what you sleep in at night and house shoes. What's going on here? I mean, should I not ask some questions about that, caller?
Well, you know, everybody say they got a right to do what they want to, but there's consequences to rights.
True.
There's a lot of consequences to what people perceive as their rights, and people got rights too. You got a right to ask what's wrong, you know.
Well, I mean, at least be concerned.
Yeah.
At least be concerned. Yeah. I mean, the last time somebody got robbed, the robber had on a hoodie, clothes, had a gun, took off running. If I see you coming down the street like that, should I not prepare myself and say, uh-oh, wait a minute, is that it again? Well, what's up? And
yeah,
it may not
be
fair
robbed.
Because, huh?
I can be robbed next, or, you know, or I can play a game and say, oh, that's just a guy who's cold, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And what I'm speaking to is, again, the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that people understand that the behavior, the actions we display, is what gives people impressions of us, either the first or the lasting impression. And over time, laws have been made based on certain behaviors in certain places. Now, let's put the oil where the squeak is. When you look at certain political precincts that is predominantly minority, where there's high crime, poor education, broken families, and youth that are without proper guidance and support, these behaviors seem to be most prevalent. That's what the data says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that they're inherently bad? No, that means it's a change. It's a need to change some behaviors. And success,
yes,
ability, comes from growth over time, social growth, changing your mentality and your behavior. We don't expect you to soil yourself or wet yourself at 18 years old. When you're a little baby, we'll let you, maybe even at 18 months, we'll let you pass by that. And even then, we're starting to potty train you, right? But when you become a responsible, so that dog ain't gonna hunt. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And some people say you're profiling me. You're racially profiling me. It don't matter who you are. If you come wrong, people are gonna be prepared for you, and that may not come out too good for everybody. So what is an expected behavior for us all that everything will be good. That's perhaps that's the thing.
Yeah, that's a tough situation, sir. But the what you make out of it is what you can make out of it, and other people, I'm learning now in life that is everybody's expectations is not the same.
No, they're not.
And what a person perceives is their perception. Everybody's perception is different. And and I would suggest to get a clear perception of what's going on out there and deal with it.
Yeah. But you know, there are a lot of good people who haven't had very much formal guidance and training, and they don't know how to make a decision. What they tend to do is to respond off of impulse, right, to certain stimulus, and don't think about the consequence of their action until after the fact, perhaps, if any at all. And what's necessary, we were talking about education and this process, and not just the process, but the content and the curriculum or the information that you're teaching, young and old. And surprising to me, in 2024, it's some chronologically grown people who seem not to have learned that. You understand what I'm saying? And that's a problem, because I understand why the babies are messed up, because the great grown people are messed up. You know, the people that they should look to for guidance, for example, they seem to get it twisted. Now, and again, what we do in the hood, I'm talking about the hood. I grew up in the hood. What we do in the hood, you may be able to get away with. No one says anything to you, even if they don't like it. But when you move outside of that into a greater environment, then you start having conflict because everybody don't agree with that, don't comport with it. And all I'm saying is the mobility to move forward and upward and out of present state is there, but it requires a certain mentality and a certain behavior pattern. Success is obtainable, but with this healthy value system, you can do it.
Well, I can honestly say with all you have to do is turn on the television, you'll see what happened to a healthy value system, sir. unfortunately, this value system that you see on the television today is the value system that is promoted. And I believe there's a reason for that. And when you're able to keep people in a spindle, you can continue to control them.
Wow.
And I think that's what's going on right now. A lot of people, it makes a lot of money not to have a value system.
Absolutely. Wow. That's powerful.
It creates work. It creates a lot of jobs.
And job security too, huh? Wow, man. That's heavy right there.
And be honest with that. We can then, you know, change some things for ourselves.
Right. I want to pick up on that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I apologize.
No, go for it.
You said something that was, I want to pick up on a thought that you made, and that is when you think about it in the public school system, the criminal justice system, the social service system, right? Even in the retail industry, as long as people are engaging in certain behaviors, it justifies job security for certain positions. So,
and expected mentality. Sorry to cut you off.
Exactly. Is it fair to conclude that maybe somebody wants you acting like an imbecile and a wild animal? So we can keep our money train going. Now that's deep, right there.
That's a system. That's a system. Somebody's trying in the BA. Somebody is dictating. Somebody is educating. You were talking about earlier how what are you teaching your kid in the morning? What is being modeled? And what is being modeled is a bunch of foolishness and buffoonery.
Right.
And that's become, unfortunately, the norm. Mm-hmm. And that's a sad state. That's pretty sad.
It is.
That's the norm, and that's what I have to accept as pop culture or the culture. And if I'm doing right. something different from that, it's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Big stuff, man.
It is. And the funny thing about it is too many young people and children who don't know how to separate fact from fiction, reality from fiction, are driven by images that they see through various social media content or what have you. And this is what they try to stake their whole life around. In fact, they tell me that there are some studies, that recent studies, that reveal that a lot of the conversation about teen and youth suicide is driven by frustration with not meeting up with what they think is real on these apps and what have you. You know, how the devil is a phone or an app going to control my child? I'm gonna let that happen.
Well, okay. That's because that's what the child got all day. It's the phone and the app.
Right.
Tell you a story. I was to the bank.
Uh-huh.
And the representative at the bank wanted to tell me that, sir, you need to know that you can do all this on your phone, online. You don't have to come into the bank.
What?
And I think I made her think because I said, I appreciate coming to the bank because it provides you with an opportunity to make money and serve me because you have a job. And
right.
I think she thought about that for a second.
Right.
If I'm dependent on apps to do everything for me, there's no reason for human interaction, correct?
Right, that's the way.
And without human interaction, you're gonna make a robot. And to be honest, that's what this behavior seems to be now. Robot like behavior.
Right. Wow, man.
The same stuff everywhere. Not just in one place. The same stuff.
Sure. Wow.
Just in different places.
You know, I saw a video. I'm trying to think of what town. This is in the United States. It's a model restaurant. The whole store is managed by robots. You come in and you go to the kiosk, you put your order in, and the robot, bring your food up to you, man. You're not dealing with anybody. And that's scary to me, man.
I guess that's why Will Smith smacked Chris Rock. I am a fan. I digress.
No. Well, I mean,
wow.
But that was, I said, wow. And this is a model. But this is part of what I understand is coming. When you hear young people complain about working and about putting forth their best effort and going above and beyond the call of duty. Look, at some point you're going to be replaced by a glass eye mechanic. Be quiet. What, like you were telling the young lady, what, don't run me off because you may not have a job, but mom. I'm sorry, go
ahead. And then that'd be another world of trouble, right? Now how do we eat, right?
Correct.
How do we live? How do I, you know, pay my rent, or how do I get a place to live, boy? That's another issue now, right?
Right.
And no
right.
one seemed to see it coming, especially no one looked like you or I.
Right.
No one that I can think of. But I'm sure
yeah.
there's several people who knows this coming down the pipe. But if you can continue to be rocked to sleep. And fed the notion that, hey, your behavior is acceptable. Whatever you do, whatever you want to do is cool. Welcome to America. It's America. Do what you want to do. There's no consequences to this.
Watch this. Who's going to pay for your cost of living and your quality of life if you're not bringing in resources to do it? What it incentivizes is a welfare state, basically, where you have people dependent on the government to provide for. Because
that's been happening too long. They want to cut that out, sir.
I think it's a need to. But people again, we're talking about certain values now. We're talking about certain values. Within the context of family, these healthy values should be taught that if you don't work, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, for you to eat. And when you get hungry enough, you'll do almost anything to eat, won't you?
Well.
That wild animal coming.
Well.
Out. And so, practically, this is a good reason for you to want to work hard, to develop a work ethic, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself on the other end of always begging and wanting or stealing. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Doing something. All right, we got a caller from 8625. I think I know who this is. This is my good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller. What are you saying, that friend?
Hey, man. All right, Pastor Doctor, how you doing?
Man, I'm better to hear your voice, big brother. I think I can go on a little bit further.
All right, brother. So
we got a call on with us out of Chi-Town, Chi-Rack.
Okay.
You holding it down there in Chicago, 3661?
I'm getting out their way.
Getting out their way, man. Must be doing some shit.
I'm going to get out of their way and let them have it.
Well, we appreciate that. I like the way you said that. You ain't trying to stop. You just want to get out their way, huh? Y'all get it.
Help anybody I can if they get out of my way. Is
okay.
that fair?
Okay. Does that sound fair, Pastor Wallace?
Well, it kind of hit me pretty hard because Chi-Town, brother, I mean, it's a lot of work, I'm sure, to be done up there. And they may need somebody to be in their way. And, you know, you may have something to offer. You may have something to offer. And if you're not on the scene, then their hope may be gone. But because I heard you say you want to help somebody. And a lot of times the people don't reach out for help because they're afraid to, for obvious reasons. And I'm saying that we had a study tonight, and I love what you just said because it just struck the mind. I was asking the students tonight because I was called out of the darkness. Remember we was talking about that not long ago? I was called out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I said, but now he sent me back out there, and I'm like, that's not something that I would want to do. But I appreciated him bringing me out of the darkness and to his marvelous light. And so I decided to go back out, and I asked my students tonight, what did you all think by way of suggestions? Should I continue to go back out there? And you know what they said?
What's that?
They said, I should do what God called me to do. I said, well, I've been going out there, so I just think I keep on doing it. So, brother, just be encouraged, man. Just be encouraged. I'm just saying that to you, brother, because I think about Chicago a lot. I think about, you know, some of the things that's going on. I just heard it in you just saying you get out of their way. and let them do their thing. So it must be a lot going on there. Is that something that's happening? Is there a whole lot going on that causes a lot of destruction in Chicago?
He may have stepped. Okay. He may have muted his phone there, Pastor. He may have muted his phone there.
Absolutely.
You go ahead for a second. I got to stop for a minute.
All right. So, Pastor, we've been talking about the idea of the key to upward mobility in America for anybody, regardless of where you come from, or how hard you've had it, or what you stand at. We talk about healthy values being the key to being successful in America. What do you think about that on this face? And maybe if your students that want to chime in, invite them to do so. Do you think that's real? Because I hear a lot of people making the complaint that they ain't going to let us do that. They ain't going to let us be happy. They ain't going to let us be successful. They don't want to give it to us. Is it a matter of somebody giving it to you, or do you go get it?
I mean, that's the situation, you know, that, you know, it's according on what kind of heart a person has. You know, if a person have a heart to give, I mean, they'll be giving it, and it won't be given it grudgingly. So sometimes if you don't give it grudgingly, you know, a lot of times it's not even worth even having. But I will say this, you know, for us to learn how to come together, and you know, there's this song that's saying, open up the door, and I get it myself.
That's what I'm thinking.
If the door is open, and I know that it's there for me to go get, man, I don't want to just wait and see if they're going to give it to me. But if they got a heart to give, let me say this, Pastor Doc, I'm not hard to find.
If they got
a heart to give, so it wouldn't like I would say, no, I don't want it. But that's one thing. But to wait for them to give it to me, I don't think that's going to work.
Let's
start somewhere.
So there's a difference in going working toward a goal of getting or producing something for yourself and waiting on something or someone else to give it to you. And I would argue that the greatest value, the greatest internal reward, joy comes when you work hard and you see how the benefits of your labor. See, here's what happens in this capitalistic society in America. You got a lot of people who work themselves literally to the bone, man, and somebody else is controlling the wealth of their productivity. They don't even get to own their own productivity. It's somebody else's. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Fully.
Yes, I do.
And this makes the argument.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that this makes the argument for entrepreneurship. If I work, man, you know, I said to myself, I looked at some years ago, Pastor, I looked at my resume, and I had 20-some years of experience making other people money. I said, no, I ain't doing this no more. I got to do it for me now.
Okay. Makes sense.
I know if I can make them money, I can do it for me now. I got to have my own. People may say, well, everybody can't do that. Perhaps not. Maybe everybody don't have the discipline or the mindset, but I'm saying that that's the best way you control the benefit of your productivity is when you own it yourself. It may be a sacrifice, sure. May not be easy. All right.
No, it's not. It's going to be easy.
Right. Even where you are, Pastor, even where you are now, you could have said, I've done better and I'm not lost where I was 20, 30, 50, 40 years ago, and I'm going to just keep it to myself. I ain't going to tell nobody. I'm going to just find ways to benefit myself. But what do? You go out even till it hurts. And I know that you give even when it hurts yourself. Because you want to be able to benefit from that. You see what I mean? And others to know that change can be made. Transformation is possible. You ain't got to stay back there. Speak to that for me, big brother, right quickly.
Where the brother that you're talking to and you want to meet it, share something about the purpose of doing things, you know, like giving it a good start point. It may not unfold like you think it should. And
okay.
if you don't put effort, you'll never know. And that's the thing
true.
About, I heard you say you have to work it for so many years for someone else and you never got a chance to reap the benefits that you believe you was worthy of. And I would just put it like that, that you decided
mm-hmm.
to say, what about if I just go and just put effort and do something myself? And I
Uh-oh.
Think that's where you're at. And if we all had that mentality or that thought of being able to do that, I think it would be great. I don't think it should be anything wrong with it. It would cut some of the things that's going on out. It would cut it out. It won't just slow it down. It would cut it out. But right now, it seems like it's speeding up. You know, doing things for others and forgetting about ourselves. And that's, you know, it's been interesting to watch. But what about when you have no knowledge, Pastor, like me? You know, I didn't have no understanding. Like, you know, I was doing a whole lot of work, but I remember all the work that I was doing. I discovered who was prospering off of it. And that was a terrible lifestyle, but yet still, I was still doing the work. And,
right.
You know, and that's a sad thing. There's a lot of that going on now. And I just trust that, you know, maybe someone will take heed to what you're saying right now. Out of all them years, how many years it was, you said, for the last, years did it take for you to realize?
I looked at my resume, and I saw all the years of experience that I had and the things
mm-hmm.
I had done, contributions I made, and I said, wait a minute now, doggone it. Why can't I own my own?
Right. This made a lot of sense to me. I just wanted to hear that again. You know, you just said it.
Yeah.
So you did say that.
To myself, yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
yeah. But, you know, that thought, that's a powerful thought that ain't gonna tell you how many people are having that thought or should have that thought.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, but Pastor, here's the catch. There are a lot of people afraid dreams and the whole the vision that's in them to bring it out, to manifest it, because it's been suggested you ain't supposed to do that. Because you don't make a good labor or a good economics when you're thinking for yourself and you're trying to produce your competition against everybody else. You understand? We need you just to be a worker, servant.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's the mentality, brother, right there. And you cannot leave that format. You cannot leave that position. Because you're not being encouraged to do so by the ones who's reaping the benefits and the dividends. They're not encouraging the fans to say, hey, you can do the same thing I'm doing.
And I want to be clear, Pastor. I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with working on the job. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
I have no idea. Of the upward mobility and success comes with taking your work experience and making it, putting yourself in a position to control the productivity of your labor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, own your productivity, you know, or your own book of business. That takes training. It takes sacrifice. It takes discipline. Yes, but it can happen. And when you see other people doing it, that's what they did. This value system that we talked about, they followed a pattern and they stuck to it, and this is the model of success that anyone can have. And it ain't got nothing to do with what color how you color you are or how good looking you are.
Yeah.
Because if it was about being, if it was about being good looking, I'd be in trouble, man.
You'd be in what?
I'd be in trouble. If it came down to how good looking you look, I'd be in trouble, man.
Be in trouble, oh man.
I went into the store, Pastor, and I asked the young lady at the counter. I said, "You got the ugly guy's discount?" She stopped and stopped.
Uh-huh.
I said, I can't get you no ugly guy's discount. I said, "Thank you, baby. I appreciate it."
Oh, man. She done lifted you up out of that. She lifted you up out of that, brother. She freed you up real quick.
Oh, yeah. I
thought
I sure appreciate you, darling. I appreciate
you.
Yeah.
That's all right, yeah.
Yeah, but we got a few more minutes here. Let's see if our caller here wanted to tap in before we leave. 3661 Chattown, are you able to get with, give us a final thought before we get off for tonight?
Yeah, I've been listening, and old Pastor Waller want everybody to get in the fire, man. And but I appreciate that. That is very true. What he suggested. Sometimes you got to get in the way, but sometimes you got to get out the way. I think about a scripture talking about not giving what's holy unto dogs.
Uh-oh.
Right.
And I'm learning that there's some doggish type behaviors, and dogs can come around too after a while, I would imagine. But at some point, you got to be weary of them and get out of their way, and you got to use common sense. So that's what I'm thinking here in the great city of Chicago. It's a nice place to be. But, you know, it's no different from anywhere else. We were talking earlier about how it's a robot-type mentality out here. And you can be in Chicago or Biloxi, Mississippi. It's the same. And that's what we got to work on, and that's what we have to be continue to be vigilant on is working and helping folks that want to be helped. And work with,
right.
And those that don't, you hopefully they'll come along. But I would suggest strongly to move out the way.
Okay.
But all right then, okay. Brother. I tell you, at least you put the seed down.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There's a military. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Pastor.
What do you say?
I sure appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir.
You just let me. Yeah, it let me know there's a lot going on, man, near and far.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
A lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
I was just going to comment, there's a military adage that said, lead, follow, or get out the way, you know. But don't be holding everybody up.
Yes, sir.
One or the other. One or the other.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Gentlemen, we show appreciate y'all, but I need to get off of here and do some numbers crunching for the end of the day today. But we appreciate y'all joining us on Talk Straight here. And we could go for longer, but we scheduled it for an hour on Tuesday night now. And, you know, if there's a topic called listening audience, if you have a topic, feel free to shoot us an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call off air at 615-942-6816. And we'll be happy to you have a topic or something you want to bring up, we'll be happy to look at it and put it together there for you there. But with that, Pastor Waller, I'm glad you were able to join us. I know you've been out there busy, man, and we appreciate you, my brother.
Yeah.
So if you do as you normally have been doing, and wrap us up for tonight, Pastor Waller. And when we get through, guess what we're going to end on, Pastor Waller?
We're
going to end on I Know the Lord Will Make a Way.
Yeah. Man, yes, sir. That's good news. That's good
anybody
news.
Know that? Anybody know he'll make a way? Anybody know he'll make a way?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. We just embrace that and then go ahead and put a word out there to say, according to Romans 8, verse number 28, he says, "For we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and who are called according to his purpose." Amen. And so we just thank God for everybody who tuned in. Thank the brother from Chicago, you know, how he's doing what he's doing there. And Pastor Doctor, keep doing what you're doing and believe, as you said, the word of God is for the people of God. And it's time for us to embrace it and to know that all things work together for the good. But you got to remember, you said, for those who love God, we got to encourage people, because once upon a time, I just didn't love God because I didn't know him. But now that I love him, and he has proved to me that he's done for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Watch out.
So I just trust that somebody's listening and they're tuning in, and they just want to get in contact with him for themselves, man. And it'll be an awesome thing, because, again, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and who are what called according to his purpose. Man, that's a beautiful thing, because God got a purpose for anyone who called upon him. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
All right. Great. Good word. Appreciate the caller from Chicago again, and you as well, Pastor, and all of you who's listening to us, Blog Talk Radio platform or our Facebook live stream. We had a few people that just kind of wave at us on Facebook. Thank you very much. We've been talking on Talk Straight tonight from the topic, Key to American Upward Mobility. I'll say this. You can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind and your heart to it. Put your mind and your heart to it. God gave you what it takes. And look here. When you get to the point where you're tired of hanging in there, hold on to his untainted, because I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will.
That's good news.
Oh, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will.
Jimmy Patterson.
Uh-huh.